Let's read together Isaiah chapter 44. In this chapter, we have a devastating denunciation of idolatry and also a promise of Israel's physical and spiritual deliverance. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Let's begin our study of Isaiah 44 with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 43, we saw that God used the preservation of the nation of Israel as evidence in his cosmic courtroom, as it were, to prove that he was supreme over all the foreign gods. The fact that Israel was redeemed out of Egypt and forged into a powerful nation before and apart from any worship of strange gods in Israel proved that God alone controlled all events, past, present, and future. Now here in Isaiah chapter 44, the Lord shows the futility and stupidity of trusting in idols made by human hands, which the nation continued to do. But God in his grace once again promises Israel both physical and spiritual deliverance in the near future and the far future, even though the nation would have to be disciplined with captivity in Babylon for her sins of idolatry. Now notice the endearing terminology that the Lord uses for his people in verses 1 through 5 here in chapter 44. O Jacob, my servant, verse 1. Israel, whom I have chosen, verse 1. I formed you and I will help you, verse 2. Don't fear, O Jacob, my servant, verse 2. And you, Jeshurun. Jeshurun means upright one. Israel was not upright in Isaiah's day, but they would be in the future when the Lord would pour out his spirit on their descendants, that is, on the Jewish people. The end of verse 3. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. At that time, even the land would be blessed as Israel would turn back to the Lord, verse 3. They would be blessed in numbers, verse 4. And they would call themselves descendants of Jacob, that is, Jewish, verse 5. And they would not be ashamed to openly identify themselves as belonging to the Lord. Verse 5. In verses 6 through 8, the Lord reassures his people that they do not have to fear and that the Lord will bless them in the future based on 3 things. Number 1, who he is, the first and the last, the supreme and sovereign God. Verse 6. Number 2, his creation of Israel in the past. Verse 7. And number 3, his sovereign promises concerning Israel's future. Verse 8. Now the big question. Have all of these promises and prophecies made to Israel been fulfilled yet? Answer, partially. When the Lord brought the Jewish people back home from their captivity in Babylon under the edict of Cyrus, as we'll see at the end of the chapter, there was a measure of blessing on the nation with the rebuilt temple and the revival under Ezra. And there was a partial fulfillment of these prophecies at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Jewish people. But these prophecies of blessing on the Jewish people await complete fulfillment in the future, when the Lord returns and when there is a spiritual restoration of the secular state of Israel. And it will take place. We don't believe that these promised blessings on the descendants of Jacob are to be spiritualized away to the spiritual blessings of Christians in the church today. No, these promised blessings are to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Jewish people, and they await their complete fulfillment yet to come in the future. Doctrinal point number one, those who design idols are stupid. Those who design idols are stupid. Verses 9 through 20. Now, when we say stupid, we don't mean low IQ or dumb in that way. No, we mean that people who design idols are fools for thinking that these idols can somehow bring them peace and prosperity. Let's read these verses, which are a scathing denunciation of idolatry, showing its futility and stupidity. Isaiah chapter 44, beginning now with verse 9. Those who make an image, all of them are useless. They neither see nor know that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? The blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks one out with chalk and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He cuts down cedars for himself. He plants a pine, and the rain nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. And he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" An appropriate comment after reading these verses would be, "How stupid can you be?" That's exactly what God wanted the people to say of themselves after hearing this from Isaiah. What could be more stupid than cutting down a tree, and with half of the wood you build a fire to cook your food, and with the other half of the log, you carve an image and then bow down to it and say, "Deliver me, for you are my God." This is not only futile, it's stupid. Now let me ask you, is it possible that some of God's people today are just as stupid? What about Christians who take what God has given them, and with half of it, they meet their needs as intended, but with the other half, they design and build and buy idols for themselves? Bigger bank accounts, bigger boats, and in the very words of our Lord about the fool in Luke chapter 12, bigger barns. Let's hear the word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 44. Those who design idols are stupid. Doctrinal point number two. Those who dismiss Israel are short-sighted. Those who dismiss Israel are short-sighted. Verses 21 through 28. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Break forth into singing, you mountains, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord, who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Verse 28 is a remarkable prediction by Isaiah about Cyrus by name, more than 150 years before this Persian emperor arrived on the scene. It was Cyrus the Persian who issued a decree in 539 BC that permitted the Jewish people to return to their homeland and lay the foundation for the rebuilding of the Second Temple. At that time, Jerusalem and the ruined cities of Judah were built again. Verse 26. But here again, we don't believe the promises to Israel made in these verses have been completely fulfilled. The Lord promises Israel in verses 21 and 22 that he will not forget them and that he will take away their sin when they return to him. And in verse 23, there is universal joy because of this spiritual restoration of Israel to the glory of God. Again, notice that this is promised to the descendants of Jacob, that is, the Jewish people. The church is not the new Israel, and Christians are not descendants of Jacob. So we believe the complete fulfillment of these prophecies is yet in the future, when the Jewish people return to the Lord and recognize the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. Verses 24 through 27 emphasize the sovereignty of God in case anyone doubts that God can perform this miracle of restoring Israel to the land and to the Lord. After all, he created the heavens and the earth, verse 24. He makes fools out of the false prophets, verse 25. He confirms the word of his true prophets, verse 26. He can dry up seas and rivers if need be, verse 27, to accomplish his promises as he has done in the past, in the Exodus and conquest. The miracle of Israel continues to this day and will continue as they are redeemed out of the tribulation period of the future. Those who dismiss Israel are short-sighted. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 44? Listen to the rock. Listen to the rock. Now, what do we mean by listen to the rock? Rocks don't talk, do they? The rock of Israel, in verse 8, speaks, listen, you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. The Lord is the speaker here. He is the rock. In fact, he says he is the only rock. That is, he is the only eternally secure foundation. Are you searching for a solid and secure foundation for life and forever? Listen to the rock.